This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Now, the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
That's another victory for the Wine and Gold last night. 122-111 for the Cavaliers over the Portland Trail Blazers to cap off.
Are you doing it on purpose?
Trip.
You're doing it on purpose.
Doing what?
That was extra.
That was really
public address announcer
pukey.
Voice.
Over the microphone there.
I don't know what you're talking about there.
I don't know. See? Talk like that.
From the diaphragm.
Talk like that.
I don't know what audition I'm talking about that we might get to later on in the show.
We'll figure that out. It's up in the air right now for us three whether or not we're going to go over that audition.
What's not up in the air right now is the Cavs mark. 57-14. Yeah. A victory for them last night over Portland to cap off the road trip.
Got to win 58 of them.
Well, he hadn't talked about the victory yet. Now he's going to add the victory.
Okay, now we add it together. Boom.
One of the things that was big in the victory was the Cavalier defense down the stretch. They did not give up a basket in the final 7 minutes against the Blazers. That wasn't a free throw. And head coach Kenny Atkinson talking after the game about what the Cavaliers are working on going into the playoffs.
We've been really emphasizing the possession game and winning the rebounding battle, winning the turnover battle. Been a focus for us, and we've been doing a pretty good job. We know the playoffs a lot of times with teams that are very even. It comes down to, you know, who's going to win the possession game. So that's been a big emphasis.
I think it's good that that we can come home and they salvage two of these games at the end, because it would have been full out panic mode by many had they dropped these last two, especially against Utah.
When they lost,
trying to lose.
When they lost the must win, I was happy it happened on the weekend, because I went, "That's the internet's problem. I don't need to answer these questions yet. Not until Tuesday." That's what I was thinking. And they won on Sunday, and that was nice. Got that taken care of.
I keep going back to that Saturday practice they had, or the lack of practice they would have had. And if they'd have lost that game, it would have been. That would have been a rough Monday to go into, that one they had against Utah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that would have been bad.
How many teams actually have a real practice right before they play Utah? Who's been getting in trouble with the NBA
What are we talking about?
Their tanking methods this year?
What are we talking about practice?
Actual practice.
I don't think it's like the Dream Team 92 tape that they found in the gym, but it's... you might get after it a little bit after the type of road trip that you've had.
It
especially because you go to L.A., get that L.A. flu
it's
there.
It's classic Cavs, though. Go to the West Coast and do something that's a little out of the ordinary. Remember the bowling. They were big on
and the
they
trip.
Bowling.
It's two
and
things.
And then they won a title. So,
they get weird.
Is the new bowling.
Yeah, they get weird when they go out there.
Well, nevertheless, the Cavaliers coming back with two straight victories to play San Antonio on Thursday. Speaking of Coach Atkinson, Carlos Boozer yesterday on ESPN's First Take had a bit of a pushback on the claims of Kenny Atkinson winning Coach of the Year. Not that he shouldn't be given credit for this season, but another coach down in Houston has been doing some great work.
Ayu Udoka is the Coach of the Year. Nobody's talking about that. Everybody wants to talk about Cleveland. He was gifted a team that already had all-stars on it. I would take Bickerstaff in Detroit because nobody expected Detroit to be in the top seven, top eight in the Eastern Conference. But the Houston Rockets started from scratch during the second seed.
Credit where it's due. What audio is that courtesy of again?
ESPN's First Take.
And that is fantastic heel work by him because he knows that we're going to play that in Cleveland. He knew that dead ass on. So I'm not lying to you. I guarantee they asked him, hey, who's the coach of the year? Can you make an argument against Kenny Atkinson? Hell yeah, I can make an argument against Kenny Atkinson. Look at what Ime Udoka is doing down there in Houston. Hell, I can name J.B. Bickerstaff. J.B. Bickerstaff used to be the coach of the Cavaliers. Say it. He knows the people in Cleveland hate him. I'm dead serious about this. If he knows it and he doesn't care, I say incendiary things all the time to make people in Pittsburgh hate me that I don't even know if it means, but if it bothers them, I'm going to say it. Yeah, go ahead and do it.
I do have a number. I do have a stat here for you guys that might give it some credence. At this date last year, March 26, 2023, yeah, the Rockets lost to the Cavaliers 108-91.
Ooh.
The Rockets were 18-57 at the time. They are now 47-26 and the number 2 seed in the West.
Yeah, fine
it's,
job.
It's the how do you measure Coach of the Year? What even is the Coach of the Year? How do we? It's almost like the same thing happens in the NFL now with Comeback Player of the Year. Well, nobody wanted to define it until last year. Like, well, if you die on a football field and come back, are you the Comeback Player of the Year, or is it somebody who had a bad year
left the sport,
totally changed their entire career around?
He didn't win it that year.
No, Flacco won.
Yeah, it came off the couch.
Oh, that's right.
They had like 4 award wins that year.
Oh, that was more recent than I thought.
Yeah.
So Coach of the Year, is it taking a team that, how many wins did, you said Houston at this point at 18, how many did Detroit have last year? Detroit won again last night. Detroit, I'll tell you, with Milwaukee's Dame Lillard situation, and he's got a blood clot in his calf. I mean, Detroit now, we are talking about a team that is going to be playing us in the second round if they can get in that 4 or 5 and actually win.
Detroit, oh, my goodness. 14 last year.
They were 12-60 at this time last year.
Yeah, yeah. It's been an unbelievable turnaround. The Cavs were good last year, just had injuries, too.
I've always kind of given the turnaround the benefit of the doubt. So
I don't want
to disagree with Carlos Boozer. But I have to because it's Carlos Boozer. It's the messenger here. I'm sorry.
Do people really care if Atkinson wins Coach of the Year?
No.
I know it's a nice thing.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Being on the message boards, our guy won, and it's going to be perceived as that validates the hire, but really the playoffs are going to validate the hire.
Haven't had playoff runs, but we've been to the playoffs now.
Yep.
Technically
we're,
3 years.
We're in a city where Coach of the Year right now is kind of a tricky subject.
Well, it gets used against Stefanski now, and it got used against Mike Brown.
Yes.
Hopefully it won't be used against Stephen Vogt.
Speaking of daytime sports talk shows, we go from ESPN to Fox Sports 1, where yesterday Nick Wright talking about something that Lima touched on in the opening segment, the possibility of the Boston Celtics, reigning NBA champions, having to add another all-star to their roster. Good God.
Brian Windhorst, and I'm not putting my fingers up, but I will say two totally unrelated people, both of whom have reputations for knowing things that other people don't know, have said to me, watch out for Durant in Boston. It doesn't make, I don't know even the pieces that it would work, and it feels a lot like what Durant got killed for with Golden State.
I don't know who they're going to trade him for. What are you going to trade him for?
Well, they do have the pieces. I mean, if they want to break up.
Why would you want to break it up, I should say?
So I think that they, if you consider that they're already in the second apron, they've got these new owners, they've got a slew of contracts, and if they were thinking that they're going to lose either Al Horford, Holiday at the end of the year, you know, part of their strength is that they have so many guys that can defend, can score, have playoff success. If you erode some of that, because of your salary restrictions over time, then you need to go get another superstar.
Got to cut. Has he? I haven't seen Nick Wright lately. Did he cut the hair?
No, I don't think so.
He looks like he's got to do that, man. He's looking like Tom Hanks in the Da Vinci Code. It's got to go. It's weirding me out.
He's had like four different looks on the air.
I like Nick. I hear the guy.
Creeping me out, man.
I like Nick. It's like, man, it throws me off. Throws me off.
What would the legacy of Kevin Durant be like if he had to come into another just juggernaut of a team after the Cavaliers beat that team?
I will say it depends, though. It depends because does he come in and save them the way he saved Golden State in those playoff games? Because he went toe-to-toe with LeBron. Remember, he was hitting the clutch shots. And he was the one defending LeBron with the game on the line. And so he's still people have forgotten how good Kevin Durant is again. And if he's in the finals and he's hitting big shots.
I did.
Like, does that helps him as a big game guy?
Understood. I forgot how good he is. I forgot it because now it just seems like he's some journeyman. Like, what he said with Vince Carter was true. It was nasty, but what he said was true. Or no, it was Gary Payton. What he said to Gary Payton was true. Nasty, but true. And I'm going, man, he really is a fantastic player. But you hear what I'm saying? Like, what would you trade for Kevin Durant? He has gotten older, and I'm thinking, man, what a journeyman. It was supposed to go that way. It was supposed to be easier when LeBron left, and we just flipped any anger we ever had on LeBron to Kevin Durant. We were madder as a country.
I still maintain that 2017 team was the best Cavs team that I've ever seen in my lifetime. We would have won the championship almost any other year.
We were so much madder as a country that he joined them. Yeah. Maybe it's because you weren't in a rivalry with the Heat. It felt like Oklahoma City was in a pseudo-rivalry with Golden State to try to get over. Even though Houston was good at the time with Chris Paul, I'm trying.
But, you know, he's going to be 37 next year. He has been on a tear lately, and that game against the Cavs, man, it was like clear. Like, oh, yeah, when he wants to, he's still a dominant player. Like, he was easily the best player on the floor against us.
All right, gents, finally, we are just about less than 36 hours away from the start of the Major League Baseball season here in Cleveland as the Guardians wrapped up spring training play yesterday. Some of the highlights, Kyle Manzardo going yard. We had Luis Ortiz working some innings. And Tristan McKenzie working out of the bullpen for the first time officially since it was announced he'd be starting the bullpen this year. McKenzie, after yesterday's game, talking about his approach.
I mean, I think the goal for me is literally continuing the work that we've been doing, even in our starts, but having to be more of a specific, concentrated focus.
I hope he can concentrate and focus and get it going in the bullpen. I am very worried about that young man.
I am
very,
too.
Very, very worried.
I am too. Maybe now pressure's off for him for a little bit, so maybe he can gather himself. I'll tell you, I like, is that the fourth home run for Manzardo?
It is.
So I love that. I love seeing that. I know it's only spring training, but it's nice to get that kind of pop.
What was Tristan's problem, though, last year? Mitch, I bet you could tell me. At the beginning of games, what would he do?
I mean, he would have a lot of struggle with control, for sure.
Well, he would give up taters at the beginning of the game. So if you're going to have him in for two innings in long relief, but if he comes in and he just gives up taters, that's not going to help him.
He's always been a tater-giver-upper.
He has always been a tater-giver-upper, but it was always in like the top of the first. Like, there's a solo bomb from the second hitter, and hopefully we'll settle down.
He was getting behind in counts and then grooving balls down the middle, and that's horrible.
The crazy thing is his velocity is the best it's ever been. It's like at 95. But it doesn't mean a whole lot if you have no precision. If you're
middle, you're done.
Yeah.
And that's it for about last night.
Outstanding. Made us think. He did make us think. Good God, said Mitch Spinell.